flows of money adjust amid developments in the crisis in Ukraine.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. Following overnight talks, Ukraine's government today says there's a preliminary deal to resolve the crisis that has left about 100 people dead. Financial markets are taking this to mean the risk is now lower that Ukraine will default on its international debt. The yield on a key Ukrainian bond set to mature in the year 2023 was falling. This may seem odd given the fact that a few hours earlier, the credit rating agency S&P lowered Ukraine credit rating. Economist Otilia Dond is vice president of Tanau Intelligence in London. Ms. Dond, good morning.
Good morning, David.
A credit downgrade, yet interest rates are going down for some Ukrainian debt. How do you see the situation?
The rally in the market might be slightly premature, I'm concerned, because the deal that was being offered by President Yanukovych seems very much along the lines of his own preferences. This does not seem to be a suitable solution for the protesters, and we will probably see some further negotiation during the day.
Tell me, among the concerns here is that Russia certainly is a major player in the Ukrainian economy. And as Standard & Poor's wrote while downgrading Ukraine today, this political unrest raises uncertainty regarding the continued provision of Russian financial support over the course of this year.
Indeed, the problem here is that Russian funding package was negotiated with the view of President Yanukovych having full control of the country. What we have right now is interim government, and we also have unrest on the street. In these conditions, Russia is withholding the next tranche of financial aid that they promised. If we have a protracted crisis, this money might not be forthcoming at the time when Ukraine needs it.
Otilia Dond, economist and vice president at Tanau Intelligence in London. Ms. Dond, thank you.
Thank you.
In the U.S., market players took heart in a survey of people who do the ordering at factories. The report from Markit, spelled M-A-R-K-I-T, showed the biggest jump in manufacturing in 4 years. This is among the reasons cited for the Dow Jones Industrial Average rising 92 points yesterday, 0.6%. Yet so many other economic indicators have been so weak. Housing starts, some other readings on regional manufacturing. The winter weather has been getting much of the blame, but could this weather be masking deeper challenges for the economy? Kate Davidson reports.
Mike Trebbing is pretty firmly in the blame the snow camp, at least in Pennsylvania.
So I had a tree on the top of my house, and I was personally out of electricity for 4 days.
So Trebbing, who's an analyst with the Philadelphia Fed, wasn't surprised area manufacturing contracted in February for the first time in 9 months.
Power outages and employees not being able to get into work, some spot shortages of energy products.
Across the country, there's a polar vortex or two, people shop less, buy fewer cars. But economist Peter Morici says there may be more to it.
It's not cold weather. It's the fact that it's colder than normal, and it's the margin that matters. And we haven't had enough of a margin to cause the kind of slowdowns that we're seeing. That's why I'm starting to get concerned that this is more than the chill.
That the economy is fundamentally slowing. We'll know if the numbers don't bounce back in the thaw. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Now let's check some numbers. The FT 100 in London at the moment is up 0.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up at the moment. The U.S. 10-year bond yield is up at 2.76%. And now a Coles to Newcastle story, only in reverse. A leading French winemaker has sold his vineyard in the Loire Valley and moved to Dorking, a small town near London, to pursue his craft. He says England is a more exciting place to make wine. Among the reasons cited, climate change. My long-term colleague Stephen Beard filed this report.
On this ridge of the hill here, the chalk is giving you good drainage to the plant itself.
French winemaker Mathieu Elzinger shows off the Denbighs vineyard where he now works in the English countryside.
Why should the French winemaker come to England? Because of the weather. Temperature going up, more sunshine.
Mathieu says England's warmer climate is making it the perfect place to make certain wines.
In the UK, you can make extremely good sparkling wines, but also very good still white wines, like pure Chardonnay.
And is it as good as it's a French equivalent?
I would say it's even better.
The Denbys wine press has never been busier. Richard Selly is a geology professor from Imperial College London. He says English wine producers are clearly benefiting from climate change. More southerly vineyards are suffering.
From Spain through Italy to Greece, the vineyards and the plains in the low ground have been abandoned in some places because it's too hot for winemaking, and the vineyards are being replanted up on the cooler slopes.
And he says England's future as a wine producer can only improve while France faces decline.
According to my research, by 2080, France will largely be far too hot for winemaking. And in southern England, we'll be making Shiraz, Merlot, real hot climate varieties.
The Denbys vineyard is now turning out 500,000 bottles a year. Vindication for an industry once regarded as a joke, says General Manager Chris White.
We've turned it into a serious industry and brought in the investment. You know, it's a joke no more.
But it may be too soon to crack open the English bubbly to celebrate. Last year, England produced about 4 million bottles of wine. In France, it was 8 billion. In southern England, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And the numbers are small, but the values are large. News of a recall for some $130,000 German sports cars, Porsche 911 GT3. Engines catch fire. 408 of them were sold in the U.S. for this model year. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.